believe what we're praying for, when we believe the promises, he rejoices when we express faith in our hearts. And I hope you came this morning with an expectation. I just want to, first of all, I want to just share, just give a testimony of what you have done. Many of you know we start the year off believing God to pay off our property. We started last year owing $509,000, $500,000 in debt. But because of your generosity, your faithful giving, your prayers, your standing in faith, we came to the end of the year. We paid more than $367,000. We only have $130,000 left to pay. Come on. Come on, let's give God a praise in this place. And I want you to know that God is pleased. He's honored by your faith. We're expecting to pay it off in the first quarter of this year. It's already done. I'm celebrating. Ready. Come on, anybody beside me, listen, I'm celebrating. Hope. Thank you, Jesus. I can't hardly contain myself because I'm excited about what God is going to do. And so I just want to quickly get in this word this morning. Next Sunday we'll have water baptism. If you've never been water baptized since you've been saved, you know, in America, many people get baptized as children, as infants, just like I was. But after you get born again, it's an opportunity for you to give public testimony that Jesus saved you. In water baptism, we bear our old life, and just as Christ rose from the dead, we choose to live in brand new life. If you hadn't been water baptized, sign up next Sunday immediately after church. We'll be having our water baptism service. Amen. I want to begin, if you have your Bibles, turn with me to 2 Corinthians chapter 8. I'm going to just jump right into it. We've been talking about habits and the habits that make for successful, or the habits that make for highly effective Christian, based on the book. A guy by the name of Covey wrote a book, The Habits of Highly Effective People, and the 7 Habits. But I believe there are habits that we can have as believers that will cause us to experience God's best. I wrote this down. Success is never an automatic, and it's never an accident. Success is a byproduct of the habits in our lives. How many know if you want to enjoy good health, you got to have health habits. You got to eat right. You got to exercise. You got to have proper rest. Can I have an amen? How many know, you can pray all day, you can fast, but if you don't learn to apply God's word, the practical aspect, and develop habits of eating right, I just want to interject that if you've been, God has helped you to begin to eat right during this fast, I want to encourage you to keep those healthy habits because they will extend your days. Can I have an amen? Also, when it comes to the area of finance, a lot of people want to have experience God's best and be financial prosperous. But how many know it's the habits in our lives that determine where we go in our finances. It takes habits of saving, habits of living below your means, habits of avoiding debt, habits of learning to give. There are certain habits that will area of your life, in your spirits, in the area of our finances. It's that way in every area of your life, in your spiritual life, your relational life. It's not going to happen automatically. How many know you got to have some habits if you're going to stay happily married? Can I have an amen, all you married people? You got to establish habits of dating. You got to establish habits of communication and building up and resolving conflict. There are certain habits you and I have to build in our lives if we want to have God's best. And so I want to talk to you. We've talked about the habit of prayer. We've talked about the habit of fasting. We talked about what's another habit we talked about? We talked about the habit of what? Of the Word of God. Daily reading the Word of God. I want to talk to you this morning about the habit of generosity. Say generosity. Let's read. Generosity is defined as being happy to give of our time, our money, our food, or kindness to people in need. Generosity is love manifested in exchange of material goods and service. You know, God is a generous God, and he wants us to be a generous people. Proverbs 11:25, one of my favorite scriptures, a generous man will prosper, and he who refreshes others will himself be refreshed. Proverbs 22:9 says it this way, a generous person or generous man will himself be blessed. How many want to be blessed? That word blessed there means to be fruitful. It means to multiply. It means to experience God's favor. How many want more of the favor of God? How many want more of the blessings of God on your life? Listen to what it says. He says that a generous person will be blessed. Let me just tell you. And it says, and because why? For he shares his food with the poor. There's a secret to the blessed life. And it's called learning to live a life of generosity. I just thought I would share some from practical research, because we got people skeptical, and so often in churches, when they come to churches, they think, well, they just want your money. And so automatically, sometimes people, guards go up. I understand we live in a world like that. But Jesus told us in Acts 20, verse 35, that it's more blessed to give than to receive. Now listen what has happened. They have medical research and secular schools have discovered that there's five benefits to generosity. First of all, Stony Brook University School of Medicine, listen to what they said. First of all, the first benefit is generosity will make us healthy. Listen to what they said. Blood pressure found that generosity actually reduces blood pressure as much as medicine and exercise. I'm reading. This is from the Stony Brook University School of Medicine. It is not just blood pressure. Listen, it goes on to say, generosity also lowers the risk of dementia, reduces anxiety and depression, and improves chronic pain management more. This doctor, Stephen Post, said this, if you were somehow able to package this into a compound, you'd be a billionaire overnight. That's a secular doctor, not a believer, just wrote that down. They did a study on generosity. Secondly, they discovered that generosity makes us happy. This is Harvard Business School. Listen to what it said. A study by Harvard Business School discovered, listen to what it's found, giving of our time and money to others give us an emotional boost. It's built into our neurochemistry. Giving triggers feel-good chemicals like endorphins, dopamine, and oxytocin. And so this is Harvard Business School. It says, as is true across, and they found that it's true across cultural, economic lines. So according to the Harvard Business School. Here's another study. Generosity lowers our stress levels. This was a study done. Listen, they hooked up people to heart monitors. And researchers found that when people felt that they were giving too little in a transaction, their stress levels rose up. But when they were generous, on the other hand, their stress levels came down. In other words, it turns out being stingy will actually raise your stress level. Look at somebody and say, don't be stingy. This is secular research. This is not the Bible. I'm reading today. I just wanted to read that because people put their guards up. But listen, here's another study. Five benefits to generosity. Generosity, a group who studied marriages and relationships, said this. Generosity improves our relationships. In a study, listen to what it say. Couples who reported a high amount of generosity in their relationship were five times more likely to say that their marriage was very happy compared to those who reported a low amount of generosity. If you're not happy in your marriage, it might be because you're stingy. Listen. Help us, Jesus. A fourth, how many want to live a long life? They did this study. I'm telling you, I'm reading secular research. You can Google it. Today, these young folks, you know, they can go and Google everything I'm saying. You're going to find it. If you Google generosity extends life, you're going to find a study. Listen to what they say. A study of 2,000 people in Marin, California, found that volunteering dramatically reduces mortality rates. Listen, people who volunteered, give up their time and their energy for two or more causes had 63% lower rate of mortality than people who didn't volunteer during this study period. I want to tell you, if you want to live long, you better learn to start being a giver. How many want to live long? Then I want to tell you, you're going to have to learn the habits of generosity. It's already 11:18. I should almost be finished. It's raining outside. Would y'all give me a few more minutes? I just want to talk. I want to share with you three things. If you're going to develop a habit, because I need to let y'all know, I'm going to take 2 minutes to just share. I was not a generous person. I grew up in a home. I have two examples. I have one set of my grandparents was, let me say, one grandparent was extremely generous. The other was tight as a squeak. My mama said, Neil, you took after your grandpa, tight and squeak. So I was not generous. Let me just show. So many of you know I told you our story when I first started the church. I was working at Shell Oil Company. After 1 year, I left Shell, and I had my 401k, and we started a building plan. And God impressed upon me to give it all away. I had probably about $40,000 in my 401k when I left. And God said, I want you to give everything. It was all that we had, all our savings. He said, I want you to give it away. God doesn't do that for everybody, but hear what God knew. I had a problem. I was a stingy person. I had a problem trusting God with money. I had a problem being generous. And sometimes, just like the rich young ruler that God told him to give it all away, God wanted to bring me to a place that I was trusting him. 401k, not my job, not my retirement plan. And so God said, Neil, I want you to give it all away. I had four young children at the time. They were 5, 7, 9, and 11. People thought I was insane. What are you going to do about their tuition? How are you making room to prepare for your kids? It sounds insane. But I want you to know, when God tells you to do something, God wanted to show me, Neil, I'm your source. And I can provide better than Shell Oil Company. I can provide better than any 401k, any plan that you have. God is my witness. I stand here. That was 24 years ago. God allowed, not only when we gave it away, you can never outgive God. God is my witness. God has blessed us in amazing ways. What's even greater, all four of my children, all four of them, received some sort of scholarship to go to school free of charge. All of them been able to finish their education or even and not have one student loan and no debt. Give God some praise. Oh, somebody ought to give a shout. I'm telling you. Now listen to me. God was proving to me, I'm just telling you, because I was stingy. I was tired. I didn't always practice generosity. And God wanted, he said, Neil, I want you to know that I'm your provider. I'll take care of your needs. I can take care of you. And I'm going to prove it. I want you to give it all away. And I'm going to show you that I can supply better than you can supply. How many know God is a good God? I want to quickly, listen, I'm reading, God often uses people, when he teaches generosity, he often uses examples that we would never dream. He often uses a poor widow. He often uses a poor church. He often uses examples that we and I would never example. And so in 2 Corinthians chapter 8, listen to me, he uses the example of the Macedonian church. I'm reading in verses 1. And now, brothers, we want you to know the grace of God given to the Macedonian churches. Listen, one of the most severe trials, out of their most severe trial, their overflowing joy, listen, and their extreme poverty. These were people, the Bible called them not just poor. They weren't poor, P-O-O-R. They couldn't afford, they were poor. Say poor. They couldn't afford the O-R. Extreme poverty. Out of the extreme poverty, listen to what it says. Welled up in rich generosity. Say rich generosity. For I testify that they gave as much as they were able and even beyond their ability. Listen to me. Entirely on their own. They urgently pleaded with us. Listen to me. This is the mistake sometimes. They were so poor, Paul was afraid, so he was hesitant about taking up an offering. But they say, they pleaded with Paul. Paul, listen, we want to give. We want to do something. We want to do our part. And he said, they pleaded with us. Listen to what he said. They pleaded with us for the privilege of sharing in this service to the saints. Put the next verse up. And they did not do as we expected. In other words, Paul said these poor people, you know, they might put in a few pennies, a few nickels. But Paul said, they did not do as we expected. But they gave themselves first to the Lord and then to us in keeping with God's will. Put the next verse. So we urge Titus, since he had earlier made a beginning, to bring also to completion this act of grace on your part. Last verse. But just as you excel in everything, in faith, in speech, in knowledge, in complete earnestness, and your love for us, see that you also excel in the grace of giving. I want to talk to you three habits that you and I from the Macedonian church, how we can excel in the grace of giving. The first thing the Bible says is that they gave what they were able to give. Did you hear what Karina said this morning? It starts not with what you don't have. It starts at what you do have. It starts, Jamacia, bring your little nephew up here. Tell him, come up here, Shamar. I just been, he been leaving out of church too early. He had a birthday recently, and I wanted to give him something, and he didn't. Come on up here, hurry, quickly, boy. You're wasting my time. There you go. That's for your birthday. Come on, let's give God a thank for him. Amen. Love you here. God bless you. You've been leaving early, so I wasn't able to give it to you. Amen. But listen to me. Faith starts, hear me, faith doesn't start with what you don't have. Faith starts with what you have. If it's a nickel, if it's a dollar, if it's $10. See, so many people say, oh, when I get the lottery, oh, when my ship come in, oh, when this happened, oh, when I just get here, then I'll give. Oh, no, you won't. What's in your house? Or faith is now. In generosity, God says, what's in your house? What's in your hand? See, God is not looking for what you don't have. He wants to say, what are you doing with what you do have? And the beginning of generosity is always starting where you are. Let me just tell you the mistake that many missionaries made when it went to foreign countries. They was just like they ran into people, much like the Macedonians. They were so broke. They were broke, busted, and disgusted. And sometimes they felt guilty about asking them to give an offering. And so what they did, they didn't give them opportunities to give. Let me just tell you, the worst thing you could do to somebody who's poor and broke and busted and somebody in poverty is tell them you're too poor to give. That's a devil is a liar. I want you to know you'll never reap a harvest until you plant a seed. I want you to know, listen, until you start sowing, you'll never start reaping. Somebody ought to give God some praise in this place. Let me just tell you, we have people in this church who were single parents, who were on welfare, who were struggling, but they learned the principle of sowing and giving. Luke 6, verse 38, give and it shall be given unto you. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over. Say running over. I'm telling you, not something that a fairy tale, I'm talking about something we live. If you got faith, it starts where you are. I'm telling you, people look at your life. They see where you are, but they don't know the story. For 20 years, my wife didn't work. We lived on one salary. I had 4 children. I qualified to get welfare. But the government wasn't my, was, I didn't, I'm not, listen, I'm not, I don't have no, if you're in that situation, I'm not critical or criticizing anyone. Hear me where I'm at. But God wanted to show me, Neil, I'm your source. And I want you to know, we learned the principle. Faith starts with what you have. We started giving. I was making $17,000 a year. Do you realize that these kids coming out of high school sometimes making more than that? So my tithe check, $5 a week. I remember writing out my tithe check with tears in my eyes. God, I don't know how we're going to make it. But God, your word says that if I honor you with what I have, then God, you'll take care of me. Oh, I've learned. That's why my heart's so full, because when I look back over my life, 40 years now, and I see how God has blessed me. My. He's a good God. He's a great God. But it starts where you are. What if they would have said, well, Neil, you're so poor, you got 35, you better keep your $35. No, the beginning of generosity is learning to give what you're able. Start where you are. This is what the Bible says. Let me just tell you, Proverbs 11, 24 and 25, one of my favorite life scriptures. One man gives freely, yet he gains even more. Another withhold unduly, and he comes to poverty. Listen, a generous man will prosper, and he will refresh others. Himself will be refreshed. Listen, I like the Message Bible. The world of the generous gets larger and larger. The world of the stingy gets smaller and smaller. The one who blesses others is abundantly blessed. And those who help others will be helped by God. Come on, I like that. Oh, I love it, I love it, I love it. I'm telling you, listen. I seen this example. I seen a family member. I can't say it, but my family members know who I'm talking about. Had 2 family members. One had more money, they made a whole lot more money, but stingy. The other had less money, whole lot less money. But they were generous. The reality, here's the end of the story. The people who had all the money but were stingy, when they died, and I visited their home, it looks like they were living in poverty. The people who had little, they're still living. They know who I'm talking about. They're still prospering. They had little, but because they learned generosity, there is he that scatters, and yet he increases. There is he that withholds, and he comes to poverty. The generous soul shall prosper, and those who water others shall be watered. I don't know about you. I want to be watered. I want to prosper. Secondly, if you and I are going to learn to establish and learn to build the habit of generosity, we must practice giving faithfully or regularly, whatever word you want to put, faithfully or regularly. Listen, the Macedonians, they had developed a habit of giving so much so that they earned a reputation of being richly generous. I want you to know, you ought to establish. That's what I want us to be. Listen, I want this church to be known throughout this area that this is the most generous, not just generous, richly generous, that God, that we, I'm telling, this is what I'm praying for. God, do this here, that we will be known as a church that whenever there's a need, God, there people say, this is a church that will bless those who need it. This is a church that will help the hurting. This is a church that will give to those that have. That's what we want. How many want that for us? I believe, listen, let me just say, we have done that somewhat. But how many know God want to take us to another level? I say, how many know God want to take us to another level? Many of y'all know the story, but I have to tell it. See, you start giving regularly. Regularly means, listen, I want to read this quickly. On the first day of the week, each one should set aside a sum of money in keeping with his income, saving it up so that when I come, no collection will have to be made. God wants us to do it regularly. Generosity is like praying. You only learn it by doing. You only grow in it by practicing. You develop habits by learning to do it regularly. That's why it's like clockwork. The first thing I do when I get my paycheck is before I pay energy, before I pay Atmos gas, before I pay St. John utilities, before I pay any other bill. Thank God I don't have any other bill. Woo! Listen to me. But before I pay anybody else, God, you get yours. Because I believe when we give him the first and the best, he'll bless the rest. Somebody ought to give God a shout in here. Hear me. If we will learn to give God our first, let me just tell y'all. We live this. There's members of this church know that I can go throughout this congregation and we'll hear testimony after testimony of people because when we learn the principles of generosity, how God is blessed. Y'all know why God blessed us with $30,000 of facilities, 11-acre property, all of that we have, and it's pretty much paid for. Y'all know why? Let me just tell you. When Hurricane Katrina came, many of you know it was the worst disaster in the United States up until that time. 10,000 people were in St. John Parish from New Orleans who had lost everything. Between New Orleans and Baton Rouge, God is my witness, and people tell, most of the churches closed their doors because most of the parishes, even at past ordinance, they didn't want the people from New Orleans here. But while we were praying, this is why you got to be open to the Lord. While we were in Vicksburg, Mississippi, the Holy Spirit, we had called to prayer. God says, I want you to help the people of New Orleans. Now, listen, we didn't have a cot. We didn't have a blanket. We didn't have much food. We didn't have but you see, this is why I want you to understand how faith works. God said, I want you to help the people. One of our members was at Home Depot and said, Pastor, there's people sleeping outdoors. The locals don't even want them to use a bathroom. Pastor, we got to do something. I said, tell them they could all come here. Before I know it, we had 30, 40 people here showing up with no clothes, no food, no nothing. And what are they going to do? What you going to do? What you going to do? Well, we start with what we have. Everybody, listen, bring what you got. You got a blanket, bring it. We didn't have no cots. Listen, we sleep in a church. And God is our witness, as we did the possible, opened our door. We made a makeshift shower. We pulled the hose pipe out there. We brought some hot water. We made a shower and brought some soap. We started calling everybody, what kind of food you got? Well, your food didn't spoil. Bring what you got. And before you know it, we had fed everybody, found clothes for everybody. Listen to me. That didn't just go one day, not 2 days, not 3 days, not 4 days. Not 4 weeks, but that went on for almost 3 months. Now listen to me. This is the amazing thing about God. See, God says when you get the generous man will be blessed because he shares his food with the poor. Y'all know the story. We served over, and I think it was 15,000 meals. 15,000 meals. We let people all around this building, 800 people slept in this church day in and day out. Fed them 3 meals a day. Provided farm. Clothes from all over the country started coming. Food, all of a sudden, when we did the possible, all of a sudden, God began to do the impossible. Listen to me. A truck from the government pulled up in our parking lot because it got lost. And listen what it had in it. It had cots, it had blankets, it had food. I said, I'm lost and I don't know where to go. I said, God sent you here. It's in the right place. Come on. Isn't God good? God has a sense of humor. Got lost in the parking lot. Come on. And God is our witness. And we took care of every one of those people. We fed them, clothed them, provided for them. You did that. Give yourself. Come on, let's thank God. Let's thank God. Listen to me. I'm telling you, listen. And when it was all said and done, the owner of this building tripled the rent. Went from 5,000, all what we were paying, from about, I think, from about 4,000 to about 12,000. And I said, God, that ain't fair. But how many know that wasn't the rest of the story? God said, I want you to tell. For 10 years, he told us, I would never sell you this building. We acquire property, we don't sell. Well, how many know God had to find a word? And God changed this lost man's heart. Y'all hear what I'm saying? The heart of the king is in the Lord's hand. God changed his heart. He reversed it. God, he sold us the property, and now it's ours. Come on, give God a praise. Oh, Judith, I'm so excited. God is good, God. Am I the only one excited that God will do a possible thing? God will do the supernatural. God is a God. He will work anything. There's nothing too hard for the Lord. And I'm telling you, listen to me. This is only the beginning. Many of y'all know during Hurricane Isaac, we didn't just take care of 800 people. We helped 1,200 people rebuild their home at a tune of more than $1 million, and God paid the bill. Come on, give God some praise. We had 4,000 people sleep on these grounds. Come on, give God some praise. I'm so grateful, but you know what? It's because when you learn to give, first of all, what you have, secondly, when you're willing to make it a habit and do it regularly, I want you to know, then God will unleash. There's testimonies all over this room of the supernatural provision of God because they learned the principle of generosity. And I'm closing with this. Y'all know I get too excited. Oh, Jesus. Hear me. I don't know why, Mark. I just sense God's about to open another door for us to do something. I just sense it in my spirit. I can't see it, but I'm sensing it in my spirit. Listen to me. The last thing is, we must learn to give by faith. The Bible said, for I testify that they didn't give what they were. I testify that they gave as much as they were able and beyond their ability. I want to say this, listen. Faith is when you give. You heard Karina was all in my message. Listen what happened. They gave God the fish and the loaf. What did he do with it? He blessed it, broke it, and gave it back to him. God always, whatever you give to God, he blesses it, he breaks it or multiplies, and he gives it back. Listen what happened. When they gave it to the Lord in faith. See, faith, that there was some little boy in that line who dared to believe. I'm sure he wasn't the only one who had lunch in that line. I'm sure there was others who had lunch. But there was one little boy who said, listen, I don't care if nobody else. You can have Jesus, you can have my fish and my loaf. That's all Jesus needed. And Jesus found somebody who was willing to give up their lunch. And when they gave, listen how faith works. Faith is when you do the possible, God does the impossible. Faith stands and says, God, I believe that you are my source. I believe that you provide all my needs according to your riches and glory in Christ Jesus. I believe that, God, that giving is not a debt I owe, but it's a seed I sow. And I believe that when I sow a seed, it's going to reap a harvest. God, I believe that when you sow a seed, you don't get back a single seed. It comes back. When you plant a corn, you get a whole bushel of corn. Listen to me. I believe they understood this Macedonian church. They had a revelation that when they give in faith, God, they can't outgive God. And when they sow the seed, they begin to reap a harvest. And I believe that in 2020, we have the possibility of seeing our greatest year yet. This is our 25th year. I've already told you as a congregation, we're going to give more than we've ever given. We're going to serve more than we've ever served. We're going to reach more than we've ever reached for the glory of God. Come on. It's not about us, but for Jesus. How many say, I'm in, Pastor? Come on. I am in. I'm closing. Listen to me. I'm speaking to every person in here. Some of you, the reason why your finances are not being experiencing what God wants is because you haven't learned to trust God in that area. But I'm believing God in 20 habit of generosity. Giving what we have, giving regularly, giving by faith. Not just of our money, but our time, our lives. I want us to be known as the most generous church in the region. It starts with a relationship with God. The Bible said they gave first themselves. You can close your Bible. I'm finished. They gave first themselves to the Lord. Listen to me. You know what has freed me to say, God, I'm going to die. I tell my kids, I'm going to leave it all behind. I'd much rather use it for God than let it rot in some storage trailer. Let it rot in some attic. Let it mildew. Let it spoil. Let it grow out. Wouldn't you much rather bless? That's why storage, putting all your stuff in storage, is an indictment against God. Get angry with me. Throw your rod. I'm telling you, you ought to bless somebody with it. When we got so much stuff that we can't put it all in our house, I want you to know we're like the person that Jesus said he had so much stuff, he didn't know what to do. So listen what the lost man did. He said, well, you know what? I'm going to go rent a bigger storage. I'm going to put it all up in storage so I can say I got all I need. I want you to know it's foolish to live that way. The same God who blessed you with what you got, if you'll learn to bless others, there is an unending supply. If you say in here today and you say, Pastor, I want to be a part of a generous church, magnanimous in its giving, that give generously, richly. You might not be there. I know what it's like to be stingy. I was there. I know what it's like to be tired. That was me. But I want you to know God can change us. And you here today, you say, Pastor, I want us to be so generous that the world will have to give God all the glory, that there's a people who learn to be generous. If that's you, stand on your feet all over this place as we close. As we close. If that's not you, you can sit down. If that ain't you, that you can just say. But I, you know, some people, when everybody's standing there, the pressure's on it. Well, I don't want to be the only one sitting. But that's not for everybody. But that's for people here. Listen, I want to pray for you. I can stand flat-footed and tell you that God is a good God, that he wants to bless your life. Let me especially interject this for parents. Parents, you're cheating your children. I want all of you to hear me. You're cheating your children when you don't teach them how to start tithing on what they give. From the time my children was 3 and 4 years old, when they got allowance, if they got a dollar, 10 cents belonged to Jesus. I remember clearly, one time I gave one of my kids allowance, and I told him, now listen, God's got to get 10, and he started crying. Well, I got to give it away. Listen, no. So I had to explain, you don't understand. Everything your daddy got, it came from Jesus. We got to honor Jesus. And I had to teach him that Jesus, everything we got is because of Jesus. A lot of you parents, I'm just telling you, you're doing your children, you're cheating them. But if you begin to teach them to honor God, then you got to worry about how to figure it out. God will make a way for them. Let them learn how to know God for themselves. Let them learn how to live for faith for themselves. See, when they start learning how to plug into God, I want to, then they won't have their mama religion. They'll have their own relationship. So, God, I thank you for this day. I thank you how you have blessed us to be a blessing. God, it's your desire. It's your desire in 2020 that we would be a generous people. I pray, just hold your hands up before the Lord. I don't know, but I believe God wants to bring resources in your hand as an act of faith. And I want you to keep your hands open. Don't close your fist, because if you close it, God, you mean you're holding on to it. Just open it up. That means that God can get it in and he can get it out.
I just felt led just to share some. just two things. And actually, Neil, when our kids were babies, if somebody blessed us, we tithe off of that, put the rest in the bank. A lot of times we're asking God to do something, or we're asking for something. And I heard Lester Summerall say this morning, and it just hit home. He said, oftentimes he didn't even ask the Lord. He simply sowed a seed. And I said, come on, Jesus. And sometimes you don't even have to ask the Lord for some things. Simply sow a seed that you might reap a harvest. And I am in 100%. We're going to give more. We're going to do more. As a couple, as a family, as a church, I believe it in my heart. And because of that, we're going to reap more. It's going to be unbelievable, as you said. I believe with all my heart. We're going to be known as a church of generosity, of great generosity. I think all of us in here rich. Well, we are, in Jesus' name. Amen. That's right. They say you're rich, just say, yeah. Yeah, that's what I am. Claim it, agree with it. That's what I am. That's right.
I wanted to lead you just in this prayer. Just make a commitment before the Lord this morning. If you're here, first of all, and you've never given your life to Jesus, it starts there. They gave first themselves to the Lord. If you're here, it's just simple as this. And you may be saying, Pastor, I never surrendered fully to Jesus. Just say this. Say, Lord Jesus, I give you my life. Come on, all over this room. Say, Lord, I give you my life. All that I am. All that I ever hope to be. Forgive me of my sins. And be my master. Be my Lord. Today, I choose to follow you. Thank you, Lord, for saving me. Amen. Come on, let's just thank God right now. Now, listen.